Good evening, and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Thursday, December 17, 2020. For the latest information on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, we now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I thought I'd do a few updates on the number of cases, how the vaccines are coming along, and a little bit of an update on the variant that's kind of emerging in England and starting to pop up in a few other places. As far as the numbers today, they're not quite complete. I think Texas is having an issue with their dashboard, and so they've given us like a partial update on cases. They don't list anything for deaths, and I don't even know how valuable the slight increase in cases are. They've been coming in at like 15,000 cases a day and over 200 deaths a day. So with those glitches, there's still almost 3,000 deaths. There's 2,898. So if they get their numbers straightened out, that'll almost certainly go above 3,000 and maybe getting close. You know, if they get their upper limits, that may actually end up being close to yesterday's record number, which was 3,600. So they'd need another 600 cases to do that. They're probably going to fall a little bit short. But today might end up being the second highest in the area of deaths. As far as cases are concerned right now, 218,000, this is about 18,000 shy of the record, but Texas has been doing 15,000 a day, and so far they've only reported like 3,000 or 4,000. And like I said, that's on this dashboard that I think is undergoing a revision. With Missouri and another update from California, they may be getting close to that. So the number that was seen yesterday wasn't a fluke. It was an all-time high. Today it's going to be a high number, and may end up being relatively close to tomorrow's. Traditionally, Fridays are the highest day of the week, especially for cases. And so there's a good chance that yesterday's record will be broken tomorrow. And so that'll be 3 days in a row where the number of deaths will be at least 3,000 and conceivably significantly above 3,000 for either two or three of the 3 days. And some of the highs for today as far as the cases are concerned, they're getting to be fairly consistent. Pennsylvania had 224, California's got 252 so far, Michigan's got 213, Illinois has 208. And then there's several others that have over 100. New York's up above 100 again with 122. Florida's 104. Ohio's 117. Tennessee's 177. And Arizona's 147. So these numbers are still very high. They're still taxing the healthcare delivery. They could be at record levels. And so, and the 9/11 was a little under 3,000. So they're breaking 9/11 every day, at least every weekday. And these deaths are climbing dramatically. And like I said before, these are trailing numbers. There's even a little bit of delay getting them in because I think they require a little bit more paperwork. So they're a little bit uneven day to day in some of these states. And they're not reflecting much from the Thanksgiving holiday, that those those cases are probably being reported now, but they're and they may be showing up in the hospitalizations, which was at a record number yesterday, and that was probably broken today. But they're not contributing significantly to the deaths. Along those lines, the vaccine, Moderna, got a recommendation for approval. The vote there was 20-0 with one abstention. That's not a surprise. It was anticipated that Moderna would get a recommendation for approval today, actually get approved tomorrow, and start shipping something like 6 million doses at the beginning of the week. The distribution of the Pfizer vaccine has run into some type of snag. It's really not clear exactly what's going on. The states were told what their allocation was going to be, and then letters went out or emails went out today indicating that they weren't going to get what they were allocated. There hasn't been a real clear explanation. Azar said, oh, there's a problem with Pfizer. Pfizer says, we don't have any problem. The vaccines are here waiting to be shipped. The only reason they haven't been shipped is the government hasn't said where they want us to ship them to. And so they're just kind of sitting in the warehouse. Nobody really knows why. There was some speculation, which is what I thought it was that they're shipping lower numbers because they require two doses and they want to make sure they've got the second dose. So if they've got 10,000 vials, they're only shipping 5,000 and keeping the other 5,000 in reserve for a follow-up. There are two ways they could have done this. They could have just shipped the 10,000 and start everybody with the initial shot with the anticipation they'd have another 10,000 coming within 3 weeks so that they'd be able to provide the first 10 with a follow-up. But sounds like there's enough uncertainty about the supply chain, so they're only shipping half, but it sounds like the lowered numbers are beyond half of what they've got. So it's not clear what that delay is, whether they're somehow associated with Moderna, and whether the CDC is going to change recommendations as to who's at what order people are supposed to be getting these. Is a bit unclear. There have been hints. Today there was talk about the fact that the number of deaths are so high that rather than focusing on essential personnel, which are mostly younger people, and that they would move to the over 65 with pre-existing condition category because those are the people outside of long-term care facilities that are actually going in the hospital and dying, and the hospitals are getting overwhelmed. And so the sooner those people get vaccinations, the sooner they may ease up a little bit on the pressure on the various healthcare delivery systems that are getting overtaxed. And when they get overwhelmed like this, they also have unnecessary deaths because they can't really give enough attention to all the patients that need it, and patients end up dying at a higher frequency. So it's unclear if the holdup is because they're going to basically shift gears on who they're actually sending the vaccine to next, and whether they're going to start offering some protection to the over 65 with underlying conditions, and that's why they basically have cut back on all of the deliveries because the initial deliveries went to first-line healthcare workers as well as long-term care facilities, and maybe they're not taking as many healthcare workers. They're just taking the ones that are seeing patients on a regular basis or something along those lines, and trying to start vaccinating the over 65 group that is with underlying conditions. Those are the ones that are getting sickest and taxing the healthcare delivery. So we'll have to see exactly what's happening. It's anticipated Moderna will get FDA approval tomorrow for emergency use authorization, and they'll probably start shipping samples either this weekend or Monday, and then that will bolster. So, I mean, this was anticipated. Why this wasn't taken into account on exactly how the vaccine was being distributed isn't clear, but there is confusion. There are letters to say the various sites that were told they were going to get X amount are going to get, I don't know, something like 30% less than X amount. And they're confused as to why they're not getting what they said they were going to be getting. So that's kind of where things stand on the vaccine front. Now, on the related issue is the variant that's in England. A new sequence came out today showing that variant's also in Gibraltar, and quite a few sequences came out today. And it looks like there's a lot of concern about this variant. A lot of sequences came out, collected both in November and December. There's some similarities with what was seen in various mink populations, and a whole bunch of mink sequences came out today, which were had collection dates back in October, November. There is some similarities. The mink usually had, they were all the Italian strain, so they had the one mutation that was in the spike protein of the Italian. And the various mink outbreaks frequently had two deletions in a receptor binding domain change. And either that was those three plus the 614, which would be four. They either had four mutations or they had five mutations. And there were a couple different receptor binding domain locations that were involved with that. And the new variant really has 10 changes in the spike protein, and they've got the same two deletions plus a third deletion. And they have a receptor binding domain change, but it's a different one. It's the one that was found when the virus was mouse adapted to go to mouse lungs. And there's some mixing and matching. So this really looks like this recombination. Some said it looks like this variant came out of nowhere, and it's likely that it came out of recombining with some existing viruses. There were viruses in whales that just have this one receptor binding domain change. They didn't have the deletions. And then there were deletions, the ones that had the deletion, but a different receptor binding domain change. And with recombination, if it's a virus that's got one receptor domain change and it recombines over that region, then it kind of erases the old one and replaces it with a new one. And that's exactly what these this new version looks like. It's got the N501 what is it, K, I think. I don't think it's K, it's Y. And in any event, these are mutations that were out there, but out there in different combinations. And when you pick up one and you lose another in the same general area, that's an indication that there's been recombination and that you picked up the one virus that has a different receptor binding domain change, and that replaces the old one. So you lose one, you pick one up. And that's what this is looking like. And so there's likely to have been recombination, whether the recombination happened in the mink population or the human population or both. It's not clear, but what is clear is that there were a lot of sequences that came out today that have this variant that's got 10 changes in the spike gene, spike protein. These are changes I'm talking about are non-synonymous, which means that they change the protein. So there's 10 changes in the spike. There's a bunch of additional changes. There's in the NS8 gene, or NS6, I think it is. There's three tandem deletions. There's a stop codon and another, I think, NS3. And this whole constellation of mutations are in this variant. So in addition to the 10 mutations in spike, there are, I don't know what it is, another 10 in other genes, including additional deletions and additional stop codons. And it looks like it's causing a problem because the number of sequences that are coming out from various locations in England, many of them in the London metropolitan area, are coming out very quickly. So, England is certainly paying a lot of attention and getting sequences done and getting them deposited fairly quickly, although some of these sequences that have come out from the humans were collections in November. They're not all December collections, but it's like they've either had the sequences or they've had the samples, and they're kind of pick things up so that, the bottom line is they show up at a higher frequency at GSAT. So it looks like this virus is spreading quickly just based on what percentage of the sequences coming out of England are this particular sequence. It's probably fairly dominant. And generally when a given sequence starts to show up over and over again in multiple locations all at about the same time, that's generally an indication that you've got a variant that's got some type of selective advantage and therefore it's causing the new cases at a much higher frequency than the older sequences. And like I say, this has a lot of changes. And this is what the concern is, that when you get virus, is at the high levels that they're at in humans. And then there's some selection either. I mean, there's not much selection from vaccine yet. There's probably some selection from people that have already been infected. And so a percentage of the population already has antibodies from being infected by the earlier versions. Then if the new version has a selective advantage, then it has those people can be infected a second time now. And then the naive population that hasn't been infected previously would be susceptible, and the virus may have picked up the ability to transmit more efficiently. With all these mutations, it does have a very high number of mutations. And this is basically what happens as the virus emerges. And this is why it's unlikely that the vaccine is going to give long-term immunity. There's too much virus out there, and it's already changed very dramatically. And if there's an effective vaccine, then there will be an effective virus to evade that vaccine, because it'll have a lot of selection pressure in it. In its favor, the vaccine will be knocking out the older versions and just leaving the host landscape wide open to the new version if it can overcome the older antibodies that are in the vaccine, or generated by the vaccine, I should say. Anyway, so that's kind of it. It's a kind of a shorter report, but the number of cases is high. The number of deaths are high. Yesterday was a record, but it's not a fluke. There are similar numbers today. There will probably be even higher numbers tomorrow. And the vaccine is rolling out slowly, which will, you know, provide that is another indication that the effect of the vaccine isn't going to be seen for several months. Right now, it's healthcare workers. That's not most of the people that are going to the hospital. Most of the people going to the hospital are older. And the only ones in the older category are the long-term care facility patients. And it sounds like vaccine delivery there is also not what was initially anticipated or expected. And Moderna approval will improve the situation, but it's not clear why the Pfizer vials are still sitting in the warehouse. Another piece of good news, though, is that the vials are somewhat overfilled for Pfizer, so there's actually supposed to be five courses in or five vaccinations in the vial, but they overfilled them so that they make sure that, you know, when you draw it in the needle and you kind of squirt it out to make sure you don't have any air, you kind of can lose a little bit of the vaccine. So there's really six or seven doses in each vial, so that to ensure that there's five full doses. And some of the institutions are basically milking it and getting six, if not seven, out of the vial. So they're actually going to get more vaccine per vial than the five. That it is the minimum number that there's enough liquid that you should definitely be able to do five, and most can do six. And if they're very careful, they can probably do seven. They could probably pool them too. They could basically put two vials together so they'll make sure they end up with 14 out of there. But in any event, they do have a little bit more just because they're a little bit overfilled. And but other than that, the variant in England looks like is going to be a problem. The vaccine delivery is not as smooth as it should be, considering this is only like 3 days worth of deliveries. And the number of cases is continuing at these record levels and is probably going to go higher. And the deaths don't even reflect what happened or in Thanksgiving. And it's likely the travel for Thanksgiving and the family gatherings will be repeated to a degree, possibly to a high degree, for the upcoming holidays with Christmas and New Year's and other end-of-the-year celebrations. So that's it for now, but a lot of activity out there.
Thank you for that information. That's it for this edition. tune tomorrow for the latest updates on the unfolding pandemic. Have a great night, and thank you for listening.